Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's President and CEO, Tansley Stern, podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Nakiso Studio Lounge interviews brought to you by PSCU Co-op Solutions, Trisend, Envisant, Typhoon, Bonafide, CU Healthcare Pay Card, and CU Next Gen. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the 2024 Nakiso Network here in Orlando, Florida. And look who we have in the studio lounge, Mr. John Wingate from Bank Social. How are you, sir?
Excellent, Mike. How you been?
I'm doing great, doing great. How's the conference going, but it hasn't started yet.
Well, it kind of has. I feel like it's more energized than I've seen it in a while. Like a lot of people buzzing around in the hallways. It feels packed. Feels energized. Yep. Look at the list of companies. It's pretty.
Oh yeah,
pretty
it's yeah. Out. This room is quite packed. We're in the exhibit hall, and there are rows and rows and rows of CUSOs. And this might be one of the largest NetCUSOs I've been to.
I've only been to three, and I would say that this is probably the largest one, the most packed out one.
Indeed, and the thing that I like about this show, and you probably get the same feeling being here for three times, is there's kind of an entrepreneurial spirit here a little startup.
More than almost all the credit union events, I would agree with you.
Yeah,
that's exciting because you get to see the new kind of.
It's a cool energy.
It is a great. I love it.
Opportunity abound in here. So yeah, alrighty, sir. Well, let's see here. We're going to talk today. You're going to be on a couple of panels actually here, but give us a before we dive in. I'm going to give you a quick plug on Bank Social. What do you guys do for?
Oh well, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, so we've been in stealth. You know, we kind of every time we talk, we got a new thing that comes out. What we've been working on for the last 6-7 months that we just launched is a digital wallet for credit unions that powers this open banking future that we'll talk about.
Okay.
And so the wallet, completely white labelable, but it inhibits the qualities of that. You know, I think you're hearing a lot about share of wallet as a new kind of topic that's starting to bubble up to the top.
Yeah.
And what that really means is, your Gen Zs, your Gen Ys, your Millennials, your Gen Xs, they're used to this different paradigm of social technology and social banking, I think, is this next wave. This share of wallet means I've got a wallet, just like I used to have a wallet in my pocket with everybody's credit cards.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a Credit Union A wallet, and I just I got one. No, it's a single wallet with all my credit cards in it. And so the share of wallet idea is something that's going to become more a focus for credit unions. You're losing share. This is not just credit unions, by the way. This is all financial institutions are losing share to these de novo. They're not even financial institutions. They're just de novo products in the fintech space. And they are the ones who are gaining share of wallet in the form of apps that make it easy for you to just be financially involved in the world.
Yeah.
And that's really what the newest release. So we just released the wallet a couple weeks ago, and it's doing really, really well.
Good.
Lots of credit unions are loving that.
Well done on that.
Thank you very much.
All right, well, let's do it. That was a nice segue to one of your topics that you're going to be talking about here. Open banking isn't what you think it is. Make way for Web3. All right, let's give a little overview here, and we'll dive into a couple of details.
So I'll start with kind of the regulatory burden that's being kind of driven down from the top, right?
Okay.
The regulators. And we're not talking about the NCUA, we're really talking about the CFPB here. And so if we look at Europe as kind of a bellwether of what's going on in the world, a lot of countries are doing similar. If we look at Europe though, it's got a similar makeup, right? You got states and you got factions, and what they came out with though was MiCA, and they just passed it. And it essentially mandates that users, customers, members, that the entire space has access to their data at all times in the form of it, portability, right? And when we talk about that share of wallet idea, you're now looking at wallets that are going to have this open banking concept that's being mandated. Again, MiCA's already done it. CFPB's already put out a bulletin saying, hey, here's what's coming. Give us your feedback. And so we're prepping, we're building the tools, we're prepping the open banking kind of wave that's going to be mandated, because it's been a buzzword for what, 20 years?
A bit.
Okay. It's always been, in my opinion, and I think a lot of people's, a balance between, is the tech ready yet, and are regulations able to kind of set the threshold of, okay, now the tech's been ready for years, it's proven out, and now we've got to mandate it, because otherwise nobody's gonna take the leap, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what Micah showed. Micah showed that, hey, and it's you know, months old at this point, fintechs, banks are already starting. If you look at what Apple did, Apple in the UK, I mean, UK, their main export is financial services. Like, no gross domestic products, just financial services. And so Apple went in and they created a wallet within the wallet that allowed you to bring in all of your financial, not just your credit card anymore,
but
all of it.
Wow.
And I think, right, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to become the wallet of the future, the digital wallet of the future. The Gen Zs are already used to this.
Mm-hmm.
You hear Elon Musk talking about making Twitter X a place where you can just use your financial tools.
It's getting closer.
What did Kevin O'Leary came out and said he's thinking about buying TikTok and making it open banking enabled,
really?
Web3 enabled.
Wow.
So this is no longer like just some fringe idea.
Yeah.
The younger generations are expecting this. I expect, and I'm kind of in between, you know, because I use technology so much as a kid, I'm kind of that in between of being a millennial slash, I'm not going to date myself, but you know, I'm somewhere in there. So, the CFPB is about to bring it down. I don't think anybody should be scared, because I think the future that is enabled by these new technologies is actually more secure than the risk and the kind of the disablements that the current architecture, infrastructure, and really the way the products are being brought forward are reaching their end of life. I think it's an enablement that we're about to see.
Wow. That was a mouthful, John. I don't know what to do with that.
we can just flow from there.
Well, share with me a couple of takeaways that the audience will be able to kind of take back to their credit unions.
So,
we should be thinking about this.
So the first thing is you can't jump far into the future, right? It's got to be something, especially in a financial ecosystem, highly regulated. You know, needs to be secure, needs to be available to the member. It has to be a migration, right? And so you need to start prepping yourself, partners, tools, products, however you want to kind of look at that. All those things need to be building a bridge for you to get there. And so when you're evaluating kind of your next steps from a partnership perspective, you need to do it with that in mind. And tomorrow, that's what we'll really talk about, is how do you prep your operations teams? Because it won't drastically shift the way things work, but it will make subtle differences in the way things work.
Yeah.
And, you know, implementing the ideals now that get your teams ready, your IT teams, your operational teams, you know, all the way up and down. We're talking about dealing with customers all the way back to the back-end systems, servicing everything is going to change in this new paradigm.
So how do we get credit unions to act on this right now? Because I think right now it seems to be in the education phase or the awareness phase. So how do we get credit unions to act on this, to be ready for when this happens? Because all this, like what Elon's doing and what probably Kevin O'Leary, I'm sure he's going to pull the trigger at some point. So, and this is stuff that's going to happen really fast.
It is.
And so we got to have our ducks in a row. At least credit unions got to have their ducks in a row to be prepared. How do you get credit unions to act on this type of stuff, though?
Well, we are getting credit unions to act on it. And so what we've seen as kind of the biggest catalyst is the ability to hold it in their hands. So like I was telling you about, we just launched our new wallet, our new open banking wallet, if you want to call it.
So it has to be something tangible that they can see?
I think so, because until I think that's what you meant. But I see a lot of products that, yes, they're tangible, and yes, they can use, but they're really just, when you have something so transformational that impacts so much of the infrastructure, the operations of the business, it's got to be something that they can play with, they can hold for a longer period of time. So education is not enough, I don't think.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, they got to play with it. Kind of like ChatGPT. You got to get in there and get in that sandbox and start playing
with it,
right?
Like, it's exactly like the AI wave that's coming. I don't suggest any credit union jump into AI tomorrow.
You got to play with it first.
Figure out where it works, figure out where it doesn't, figure out what's real, what's vaporware, what's not vaporware.
So I guess what I'm getting at is, what's your call to action when you're going to be talking up there on stage tomorrow? What do you want the credit unions to do?
Well, the credit unions really need to understand. I mean, we had a lot of people, we did this at CUNA Tech, And when we did this at CUNA Tech, there was a lot of questions around, well, you know, is this the CFPB rule that's coming down? The action that credit unions need to take, we believe, is implementing tools that allow for this, you know, this kind of share of wallet, share of voice. Implement them now, implement them fast, but implement them in a way that doesn't impact existing processes, existing enablements within your ecosystem. And really the only way to do that is by, you know, partnering with a handful of people that bring these types of technologies.
Well, very forward-thinking folks, for sure.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the crowd will go, hey, that's pretty cool, let's do that too. So we, because I mean, obviously we all know, being the credit industry, credit unions talk to other credit unions before they do anything, and especially the ones that are kind of on the edge a little bit, you know, they're like really pushing that proverbial envelope. And when other credit unions see, okay, wow, that's really working there, all right, let's implement that as well. So I think that's what a lot of this industry does, for
absolutely.
A good reason, because they want something proven,
absolutely,
and so they don't want to take too much of a risk.
Right.
So I think I see this as well. So if they can go down that road, because I think this is going to happen no matter what.
It already is happening.
And it already is.
With what we see in Europe, I mean, it's already happening. At the CUNA Tech actually conference last year in Denver, we had a couple people stand up and say, "Hey, is this what's coming from CFPB and MiCA?" And it's yes, it is what's coming from CFPB and MiCA. I can tell you that. You know, we've done some educational panels with tech teams, because I think. Because a lot of the future is driven by tech, really, a lot of the future is driven by tech.
Yeah, I agree.
A great place to start is with your tech teams getting into the understanding of what these future systems are. The other challenge that credit unions have that isn't shared by a lot of other industries is that they tend to have smaller, more generalized tech teams, as opposed to very, you know, 25 people doing 25 different things. And so finding that kind of partner who can come in, talk to your tech teams, is probably one of the most important next steps. But I think it's seeing other credit unions use it, talking to them, you know. So at this point we've got I think around 20 some credit unions.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
So what, I don't know if you can share this, but what benefits have those credit unions received since implementing this? Well, I mean, what's the ultimate goal here? Obviously, credit union top of wallet, top of mind.
That's
top
exactly
of,
it.
Top of watch.
That's exactly it. So it's being top of digital mind,
okay,
right, for
go.
The member.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like when a member picks up their device, I think what we've seen is that there's been in the credit union space, there's too much of a focus on the digital banking experience. And when you think about the psychology of, you know, I think the psychology of people hasn't changed, even though the younger generations have gone to not physical wallets, they still utilize the digital wallet. They feel like a bank, for whatever psychological reason, it's all tracked in the back end, but you feel like you've got control of your money, right?
Yeah.
When you log into a digital banking, it doesn't feel the same. And I think this is, I was just listening to two, there was a guy over here talking about share of wallet and how do you go after Gen Z and millennials. It's not by trying to get them to download your digital banking app and only giving them the specific set of features. You have to give them access to tools. Now, are people still going to log into their digital banking to do the more specific things? Yeah, absolutely. That's been something, and I don't think that goes away.
Yeah.
But generally, just to log into an app, I think everybody's got two or three financial institutions anyway.
Yeah, I got one.
I got five.
Yeah.
You know, my kids, they're 9 and 10 years old, they've got two bank accounts even though they don't know about it, right? And so the first thing that they're going to do is they're going to want a tool. And I think nobody encompasses the idea of kind of community cooperative natures than credit unions. And so who better to bring this future forward?
Yeah,
it's not going to be, you know, big name bank A and big name bank B. They just can't do it.
Yeah,
it really
yeah.
is. So if we're talking, that's why we called it bank social. It's not because we're trying to build a social bank. It's because we're trying to build the social network of banking, right? So you've got social media, social finance, social banking. That's really what this is about.
Yeah.
And interconnecting all those opportunities. How do you allow a small credit union here and a small credit union here, both of which, how many digital communities do you know about now? All over the place.
Ton of them, yeah.
And credit unions aren't tapping into the digital communities yet. I mean, de novos are not starting yet. Right? This is going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And a digital community has much less of a barrier than a physical community, right? If I live in a county, that's
you know, I live in a county. I might work at a company outside, and I might join two or three, four financial institutions. But digital communities are going
to
start to be a
thing. That's why it's so important these days to have that for sure. So
I think
so important.
It is.
The last thing I want to talk to you about is Web3. Talk to me a little bit about Web3 and why this is so important.
So
for all of this to work.
Yeah. So there's a transformational shift from Web 1 to Web 2 to Web 3. Mm-hmm. And I'll break it down like this. Web 1 was the read economy. So with AOL, with Prodigy, with bulletin board systems, you logged in, you had a nice little box around you, and they fed you data. You got to read it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then that started reaching its peak of failure with access. It was too hard to get to data. The AOLs couldn't keep up with feeding you enough data.
Yeah.
And then everybody started saying, well, let's go to like this Web 2 format where I could just dial in and get all the information
mm-hmm.
that I want.
It's
and
very
what's
interactive.
Very, and that's great because that's part two was read. So write and read,
mm-hmm.
right? So
mm-hmm.
now you're in the write economy. So you could send data. They mm-hmm. send it back to
yeah.
you, send it back. Well, now we're reaching the pinnacle of issues where we're talking about the fraud. APIs, endpoints, all these things are reaching their pinnacle. You can no longer secure these endpoints, especially in this coming wave of open banking.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to let everybody have access to your core?
Right.
It's not
right.
possible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that. It's not possible. Okay. And that's where the third version of the web comes in, which is the own economy. So now it's kind of like I equate it to 40 years ago, the Apollo space thing. It wasn't powerful as the phones
right.
we have in our
yeah,
pockets.
Right.
So the devices we have in our pocket are exponentially more powerful
mm-hmm.
than computers we had when we started digital banking 10, 15 years
yeah.
ago. These things are exponential. And so now we can put this ownership economy, and I'm not talking about, you know, crypto and all these types of things that people, we're talking about the ability to put the onus of data, you know, experience, connectivity, access, all
mm-hmm.
into the person's hands,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about, so, you know, we've got digital KYC, we've got device security that pairs with your digital KYC.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about enabling the member to own their own experience,
yeah.
which I think at the end of the day is really what... Credit unions are owned by the members. They're there to
yeah.
enable the member
yeah.
experience,
yeah.
period, end
right.
of story.
Right.
And so we believe that a lot of times I think fintechs go after the credit union, and the credit union is really not the person you're selling to. It's the member, because the member owns the credit union,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know? And so the ownership economy
yeah. Yeah.
and the people that own the economy,
mm-hmm.
the economics, the financial institution,
mm-hmm.
marrying those two things. So when we talk about what Web3 does, it puts the ownership, all the risk, all the thing, it puts it on the individual where it really should be. Because already, I guarantee you, Mike, we open up your phone and we dive into your secure enclave,
mm-hmm.
it's going to have everything you ever gave everybody anywhere.
Scary.
On. Well, it's kind of not, because it's all protected with these quantum resistant security mechanism.
Yeah, yeah.
The FBI has tried to get into Apple's security
can't
mechanism.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
And so really we should actually be saying, well, maybe it is more secure instead of a credit union, you know, utilizing a technology that's maybe 35 or 40 years old.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's robust.
Mm-hmm.
It's secure.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so secure when you start talking about the real
yeah,
open banking
yeah.
that's coming.
Yeah.
Right? And so Web3 shifts from, and there's a great book by a guy named Chris Dixon called Read, Write, Own, and it lays this kind of evolution out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting away, I think, very, very, you know, the own, members own the credit unions, they own their experience, they own their data,
mm-hmm.
you marry those things, and really, I think that's the only reason why I believe credit unions have the ability to own the future of
yeah.
Open bank.
So the opportunity is right in front of us, right?
I think, and it's right here, right now. And I think, again, it's not about getting there now. It's about prepping yourself, because it'll come, you know, probably the CFPB will put something out in the next 12 to 24 months, and then you'll have a grace period to get there. So you need to be in a position. You don't want to be the last credit union jump. Like, as fast as people died from not jumping on board digital banking
mm-hmm.
in mid-2000s,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be exponentially
yeah.
faster,
yeah.
the death, because
yeah.
the expectation is so much faster. people, you know, the younger generations, they don't wait.
Oh, gosh, no.
They get on and they get on TikTok and they tell the world what they want right now.
I don't
think
anybody waits anymore, John.
They don't.
I don't wait anymore.
They don't.
I'm tired.
But our perspective of time relative to the younger generation's perspective, it's completely different.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I get it, yeah.
And so I think we really have to, if we're going to capture the newer generation, and we're seeing it, right? Like, the products that we're releasing, the tools we're releasing, putting this back into members' hands. We had a Spaces the other day. One of the last things I'll say, okay? We did a Spaces the other day with two credit unions on Twitter, on X.
Mm-hmm.
We had over 2,000 people show up on the Spaces.
Wow.
Wow.
What?
And ask Becky. And go on our Twitter and look. It's public. It's public information.
Oh, yeah. That's the beautiful thing about it.
Right? It's public. And you can listen to it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And what we talked about was enabling this future of open banking with two credit unions. And 2,000 people showed up and listened to that. We're not getting that anywhere else in the space. It's because this is what people want.
Yeah.
When you tap into what people want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you get feedback on what is your product hitting the market fit right. And so I think as a takeaway, focusing on the member and this coming guidance or regulation of open banking, you've got to put yourself, you can't be the credit union that's going to wait for digital banking because you had 5 years before. You're not going to have it. You'll have maybe 18 to 24 months. And if you're not already in the position that your systems are ready to get there, you're not going to make it.
Does this mean, a change in mindset? You really have to kind of wrap your mind around this first, right?
Well, so, we're trying to take
really a mindset change of
being at
the credit and then the member owning it as opposed to the credit union.
So I try not to do that. It's a little bit deeper. You know, when we made the shift from, I'll compare it to spreadsheets to databases.
Yeah.
Yes, did your tech team have to understand and did some operate? That's why I said it's going to span the organization, but you know, did you really have to fundamentally change what you did as a credit union when you went from spreadsheets to databases? Not really, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, operations streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, security streamlined because you didn't have spreadsheets opened all over the place. So those types of benefits are the same benefits to be gained.
Yeah.
But from a, how do I have to think about the difference of now the ownership economy? You don't really have to think about that because at the end of the day, the technology is going to handle all those things. It's just going to be how do you operationally, tweak your organization.
I want to be a fly on that wall in that session tomorrow and see, or when is it tomorrow or when?
I believe it's tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay, I would love to see the reaction and the feedback and the questions you're going to be getting. So
we got a lot of people.
The Q&A is going to be the very important, very interesting part of it.
Absolutely,
Yeah, you
should come on a Spaces too. You should come here. You should come to one of our Spaces.
Let me know. Yeah, I would love to.
I would love to have you on.
Yeah, let me know
when the community and
let me know the next one, and I'll definitely be there.
We do it on your schedule.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Right on. All right, sir. All right, John. Anything else to add to wrap up? I know we're just scratching the surface here, obviously.
No. We do this because we love credit unions. We want to carry the flag forward for future generations.
Yeah.
I believe credit unions are one of the most fundamentally important institutions especially in America, but I think worldwide.
Yeah.
And we want to, we're doing our best to carry that flag forward and be kind of that marching and guiding tone in the future for
you guys are doing
finance.
Just that. Well,
yeah.
Keep
you.
Up the good work, sir. And
Thank
then
you,
yeah,
sir.
Look forward to seeing you guys in Spaces and also just to keep in touch because I love hearing the continued iteration of all this type of stuff and who's signing up and why and all that good stuff. So yeah, good stuff, sir.
Thanks
all right,
so much,
John Wingate, everybody, Bank Social, go check them out. Well done.
Nakiso Studio Lounge interviews brought to you by PSU Co-op Solutions, Tricen, and Visit. Typhoon, Bonify, CU Healthcare Pay Card, and CU Next Gen.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stearns, podcast, Despite Impossible.